in the heart of the temple of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, we are very, very great. We are very, very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made and granted us this opportunity to be in the company of a very great body of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Muhammad Shah, Arif Billah, Hazrat Dinul Ali, and the closure of the Prophet Shahda, the best intention that the peace in it, that great that ball of fire is in the heart of our Hazrat, how can that affect our hearts also? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in understanding that has come through, inshallah. Those people that have back problems, etc., that they are understood, they can sit. But the youngsters and those that don't have, those who we sit are more beneficial. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamu ala ibadu al-adhina astafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah Ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majeed wa furqani al-Hamid, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربي فصلى صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends, our praise belongs only and solely to Allah Rabbu Izzat, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, and rule in salawat upon our beloved master, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special favor upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this golden opportunity on this night, a Saturday night, where we will be involved in many other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this great opportunity to be sitting in such an important gathering where the fikr of our Islam, our spiritual reformation, which was a great responsibility and the fikr of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Islam of the Ummah. And this fikr has been passed on from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala to the Tabi'een, Tabi Tabi'een, and the same carried on that till today we have what we call the Awliya Allah, the Mashayikh. And we are indeed very, very fortunate, very, very, jitna bi shukr, jitna bi kam. How much we can make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not sufficient. Our Honorable Biyana Shaykh and the Shah Hakim Akhtasab Rahmatullah used to say that Zuban bi kasir, lubat me dam nahi rakhta. That O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our tongues also cannot express your shukr. There is no words in the dictionary enough to express your shukr. And in this time and age, you have granted us such a great wali, the Hakim al-Ummat of this time, Hazrat Mawlana Shah bin Hamid sahab Murtaza al-Ali, who's got this great fikr and wali. And alhamdulillah, in the Ummat, amal is taking place. But how this amal, the reality can come into my hearts, in all our hearts, and as amal can be presented in accord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Allah ta'ala is pleased. This is what is this Islam in very short form, which we will hear in more detail from our Hazrat. So we should make this niyat that we have come here, obviously, only firstly for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then appropriate to this occasion, to this jalsa, that Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to realize that it is qadr-e-ain, it is important for each and every one of us that we should be conscious and worried about our fikr and the fikr of our Islam and our spiritual reformation. And this spiritual reformation cannot take place on our own. No one can do his own treatment. But treatment of the body, we go to the doctors and we go to the best specialists. If you heard a great specialist is in your town or nearby or in the country, then you delay and you change all your other appointments and you make sure you try and get an appointment. Here, which is much, much more important, our diseases of the heart, which we don't realize, is worse than cancer, etc. The doctor, we didn't have to go and look. The doctor has come into, a great specialist has come into our midst. So we should make niyyah that Allah open my heart. And if I realize this is that great specialist that will do my treatment, let me get connected and let me make my treatment. For this, before we call upon our honorable illustrious Sheikh, we'll start this jalsa of the qiraat by our honorable Imam Mufti Sari Salam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهم ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayat the importance of our spiritual reformation with regard to evil thoughts, etc., which inshallah we will hear in the bayan of our Hazrat, and will realize if we sit open-heartedly, myself, all of us will realize how sick am I and how much do I need the spiritual reformation. And we should be making dua also and effort in the same line. And we find that when a person makes his spiritual reformation, the enjoyment of Quran Sharif will be even greater. And like we see when Quran Sharif is being recited, then it is like rain falling on dead ground. So this recitation of Quran Sharif is not just a formality to start the majlis. This was my dead hearts, our dead hearts, that how we can soften up and we can take in what Hazrat will be spreading out, the beautiful jewels, how we can penetrate our heart. We call upon now Mawlana Farooq Sahib, our Imam of this town, mashallah, for many years, to render us some ashar. And these ashar also, it's not just for entertainment. If we listen to the words properly, we'll find they are great lessons for us to take.
Oh, میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ دل پہ مرنا تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ دل پر پہ مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا یہ تیری عنایتیں یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ یہ تیری یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ میری جان ناتوا کا تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا میری جان ناتوا کا تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا یہ تیری عطا ہی یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا یہ تیری عطا ہی یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا میرا نالے ندامت تیرے سنگ دل پہ کرنا میرا نالے ندامت تیرے سنگ دل پہ کرنا میرا ہر خطا ہی فرونا اللہ اے یہی میری تلافی میرا ہر خطا فرونا اے یہی میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم عفو کرنا
آمین آمین
تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم عفو کرنا اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا ہے اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا ہے تیری رضا میں جینا یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا یہ تیری رضا میں جینا یہ تیری رضا مرنا میری عقلیت یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا
سبحان اللہ
میری عقلیت یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا یہ عاشقوں کا شیوا یہ عاشقوں کا عادت
بے شک سبحان
یہ عاشقوں کا شیوا یہ عاشقوں کا عادت کبھی گر کبھی گر یہ پکارے کبھی آہ سرد برنا کبھی گر یہ پکارے کبھی آہ سرد برنا علامت یعنی عشق کی ضمانت یعنی عشق کی علامت یعنی عشق کی ضمانت کبھی ذکر ہو
سبحان اللہ
کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا
ماشاء اللہ
کبھی ذکر ہو صبح سے کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا تیری شان جذب ہے تیری بندہ پروری ہے تیری شان جذب ہے تیری بندہ پروری ہے میری جان و دل کب تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا میری جان و دل کا تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو یہی کسی کو اختر کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو یہی کسی کو اختر اسے آ گیا ہے جینا اسے آ گیا
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ
گیا ہے جینا اسے آ گیا ہے مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا
ماشاءاللہ
entertainment and just a nazam that has been read. This here is the pain of the heart of the ashikin, the lovers of Allah. And this here is the pain of the heart that was in the heart, the pain that was in the heart, and that great ball of fire that was in the heart of our great Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hashim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, that to teach us what is our real life support. We think that my life support is my business or my profession or whatever. What is the real life support when a person realizes how to live and how to die for that great being Allah Rabbul Izzat who gave us our life? And this is what we have gathered here today. We make shukr and we say Jazakallah for our Hazrat speaker, and that has ignited fikr in the hearts of the brothers who sit in the company of our Hazrat, MashaAllah, Brother Muhammad, and got all the other brothers of Amal ready to make this beautiful jalsa here so that we can learn that, oh Allah, my life support is to sit in the company of your lovers and learn how to love for you and how to die for you. And for this we are extremely fortunate. We have got such a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has got that great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been transferred into Hazrat's heart from all the awliya Allah. Hazrat is that great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in every time, whatever need of deen there was for that particular time, Allah ta'ala has used our honorable illustrious Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Majazilul Ali. When Hazrat returned from his studies, then the need for the maktab and establishing it properly and all the unnecessary things that were taking place, Allah ta'ala used our honorable Hazrat in establishing the masjid, the maktab. In that time where there was no concept about parda, in the maktab amongst the young girls and boys, Hazrat established parda in the madrasa. In that time when jalsas used to take place and men and women used to mix in the maktab makatib, Hazrat established and showed us what was the reality. Then the importance of the hifz classes, Hazrat established hifz classes. The importance of da'wat and tabligh, Hazrat has spent so much time in the work of da'wat and tabligh and fikr, not only in South Africa, throughout the world. And not only Hazrat himself, but his family, Hazrat Bibi Hawa, and going around throughout the world, not to see the world, but to spread the fikr and concern how the eagerness of deen can come in our life. And then when the need of Darul Uloom was there, Allah Ta'ala used our Hazrat. And today we can say without a speck of doubt, if you want to see a picture of Darul Uloom Deoband, look at Darul Uloom Azadwan. You'll see the picture of Darul Uloom Deoband. And what is the figure of Darul Uloom Deoband? This is what our Hazrat is moving around with. And now that Aman is coming into the Ummat, the work of Tabligh al-Dawat has spread throughout the world. But how that amal, the reality can come into us. This connection, this consciousness of Allah Ta'ala's presence in us, which is called Kayfiyat-e Ihsan, which is called the Tasawwuf. This is the fikr of our Hazrat and we are extremely fortunate. For this Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدَنٌ وَمَعْدَنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. That remember, there are many minds in this world, and our weak minds, myself, we think of the worldly minds, gold mind, platinum mind, all these minds. But those minds have got no value. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the real mind is the mind of taqwa, where you get the love of Allah, the connection with Allah. And this connection will only come with spiritual reformation, with Islam. And where is these minds? The ma'adinu taqwa qulubul arifin. The minds of taqwa is the hearts of those who have recognized Allah. We are supposed to be searching for that mind. Allah Ta'ala has brought this mind into right into our midst.
Our Honorable Illustrious Sheikh undoubtedly is that mind of taqwa. We should search in the heart of our Hazrat for that great love of Allah, the greatness and the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it can come into our hearts and our hearts open up, then we should order. The system Allah ta'ala has made is a person takes bad to a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way your Islam takes place. And then you see, whatever effort of deen, dunya you'll be doing, there'll be a different enjoyment and spark in our life. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. We call upon our honorable illustrious Shaykh to inspire us and to make us realize the importance of our Islam.
What does it mean? Naqshe qadam Nabi ke, the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Following in his sunnat, this is the road to Jannah. And a person will get connected with Allah Ta'ala by following the sunnats as well. So just like from here, from Amado, you take the part that shows standard, it will come out in standard. You take the part that shows better, you will come out in better. Whatever. Like that, a person who puts in front of him the board of sunnats, he lives his life according to sunnat, you will see he comes out in jannat. And also a person who follows sunnat will see that he gets connected with Allah Ta'ala. There are two great differences here. Jannah we will get, and we all want Jannah, but Jannah is scared. It will come after we live our whole life, life of the Qabr, day of Qiyamah. Then inshaAllah, Allah will give us all the Muslims, Allah will give us Jannah. So it is a long wait. And Allah is cash now. By following Sunnah, we'll get Jannah eventually, and we'll get Allah also now cash. The other great difference is, Jannah is the creation of Allah. And Allah is the creator. And the creation can never compare with the creator. Just by way of a little example, if a person has got his soap factory and is making, manufacturing 10,000 cakes of soap a day, he's got a candle factory also, and how many candles? He's got 2-3 filling stations, he's got how many blocks of flats, he's got how many farms, everything. So that person, who is so valuable compared to what all this material, what is the value of one cake of soap? How can that compare to his value? That one cake of soap got no value to how much he has got. So, Jannat sar aankhon pe, very beautiful, very great, but compared to Allah, Jannat is also nothing here. Allah is everything. Ek tu mera, to har shay meri, zameen meri, aasmaan mera. If you are mine, O Allah, everything is mine. The earth is mine, the heavens are mine. Ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you are not mine, nothing is mine. This we can understand also, in this sense, your wife is your wife. But if you have displeased Allah, Allah is not yours. Allah will use that same wife to torment you, to give you endless problems. The fault is not in her. Allah is using her to trouble you. Your shop is your shop. But if you have displeased Allah, you are not making Allah happy, that same shop will be a headache for you. You won't be able to make profit in it. You can't sell it also. You are going more into debts. So if you make Allah happy, no matter what your condition is, Allah will make that wife in your favor now. Allah will make that shop in your favor. Everything. So we have to find Allah, make connection with Allah. And there are many ways that by which we can get connected to Allah. One of them is simple, follow sunnahs. So one sunnah ideal for this occasion is the sunnah of bay'ah, to become bay'ah. To become bay'ah, to pledge yourself to somebody. It's not faraz, it is sunnah. The Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, became bay'ah to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on various occasions, for various objectives, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, told the Sahaba, pledge yourself to me for this. Pledge yourself for me to this. This carried on with the Khulafa'i Rashideen. And from the time of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu particularly, and from him particularly, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, the pledge of bay'at of islah and nafs. It was very common in the ummah and it spread in the whole world. And it's carrying on from that time till today. It hasn't been cut off anywhere, anytime. Yes, sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. Sometimes in one place it was more, in another place it was less. But it carried on from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till today. So this also a great sunnah, that a person becomes bay'at. But the object of bay'at is the reformation of oneself. And that is for us. And that is inshallah which we will try to discuss. May Allah make it easy. Let us explain it properly. Let us understand it properly. And then let us make amal on it properly. And we will see the great benefits. For that, see the ayahs that I've read. They are more than enough for us and all of us yet. They all know it's the ayahs of the Quran. And we all, our yaqeen is the Quran, is the word of Allah, Kalamullah. Allah is speaking. And just imagine here, ulama, mufassireen have written that the most qasams Allah took, they have counted up to 14 here in the surah. Here Allah took up to 14 qasams to say one very important thing. So for Allah, why must Allah take a qasam? Somebody who we doubt is going to speak the truth or lies, we say, hey, qasam what you are saying. Allah, there is no question. Allah is... Allah makes the truth manifest. Nobody can speak a truer word than Allah Ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. So Allah speaks the truth, Allah makes the truth manifest. Why Allah is taking 14 qasams? And what's striking qasams? It's a pity, we can't go into all the details, that will take all our time after we go. But it's so enjoyable and so wonderful to read how Allah has explained this. So 14 qasams to explain one thing. Very shortly, Allah Ta'ala took qasams, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْوَحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. The sun and the moon and their work on the earth. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. The day and the night, brightness of the day, the darkness, and these are the great creations of Allah and great phenomena. It's a pity that our eyes are closed. We don't see what great things are happening. When there is some show that takes place, then we get amazed and we say, we are taken aback. If the government, the Air Force showed what the power they have got, the aeroplanes, and how they fly them, we get amazed. But every day, day and night is coming. The sun and the moon, وَالْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. The skies and the earth, what great creation! But unfortunately, we are blind to these things. We don't see. Allah complains Himself in the Quran Sharif about our blindness. وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. How many of my clear, great signs I put in the heavens and the earth. Man passes by them, يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُقْرِضُونَ. He's blind to them. He pays no attention. What great qualities. We can imagine you went out of your way to buy a present for your wife. And you hunted for it. You knew what she likes. What she will make her happy. You went out of your way. You couldn't afford it. You sweated to make the money. You bought it. You brought it home. And now she hardly takes notice of it. She doesn't even look at it. She doesn't acknowledge it. She doesn't say, Jazakallah. How would you feel? Allah created this whole earth, the heavens and the earth, so that we could acknowledge Allah. We could see Allah. We would appreciate and we would become die hearts of Allah. But we don't know this. Yes, our shops we can see properly. Our houses, toilet must be clean. Garden must be maintained properly. All the small, small things are very important. But Allah's qudrat we don't see. A father who does everything for his son. He gives him a good education. He brings him up properly. He gives him a shop. He gets him married. He gives him a house. Everything he does. And he doesn't even ever look at his father. In fact, in the days long ago, the days of apartheid, when universities were not open to non-whites in the country, one father wanted to make his son a doctor. He sent him to the Duke. And the father worked so hard. And it was expensive. You pay cost of living also even those days now too. And he had to send money from here. So anyway, the son graduated. When he came back, father was very happy. He gave a big party. He invited so many people. The father worked so hard. And all his money he spent on his son. He hardly had up-to-date clothes or anything. Shabby clothes he had. In that big party where all big people of the town, of the family, of the community were invited, so the father looked out of place there with his shabby clothes. So somebody asked the doctor, who is this man here? We are all that up-to-date and we are that neat and tidy and this man. He said, it's the work of God. It was like a dagger through the father's heart that I spent my whole life for my son. I made him a doctor, I did everything. And this is what I get in return today, that I'm the worker of the house. So like that, Allah, what didn't Allah do for us? We don't even think of Allah. How few of us make namaz. And those few of us who make namaz, we don't even think of Allah in namaz. We come to Allah's house and we don't think of him. We make namaz for Allah and we don't think of Allah. So what is our attitude? So this is what is the soul, to create that realization, that connection with Allah. It isn't anything else. And then carry on with whatever you are doing. You're a businessman, carry on with your business. You're the husband of your wife, father of your children, carry on with your family. You are teaching in a Darul Uloom, you are making imam teaching in a maktab, carry on with all those. You are doing tabligh work, you get on only with this recognition. You are a wonderful, now we eat, mashallah, very good food. Allah reward Brother Muhammad and all, and the cook and everyone. But say the salt was not added. The best of biryani is prepared. The best roast is prepared, but no salt in the food. You don't enjoy it. Though it is the best, everything, all the masalas, the saffron also in there. They are all elaichi also, and everything, and the best quality. But the salt is not in there. You don't enjoy it. Just add the salt and now see the enjoyment. So that everything we carry on, but just add the salt of the love of Allah, recognition of Allah, and then see. Allahu Akbar. Maulana Abdul Ghani Furquri, rahmatullah, very great alim, senior khalifa of Maulana Al-Amir. They should eat ordinary food, dal, roti, vegetables, and with every one, the other people couldn't, what they enjoy in all this? But what is it? That we realize it is from Allah. Allah is king. One postmaster, he was eating with Maulana Abraham al-Hassab, rahmatullah, they were having meals. Some food fell out of the plate on the dastarkhan. So Maulana told him, pick it up, eat it. So he said, it's beyond me. I'm a big man, I'm postmaster. How can I pick up something that fell out of the plate and eat it? It's beyond me. I can't do it. It's beyond my dignity. So Maulana explained, this is what Allah wants. No fatwa on the person, that you're a kafir, that you like this, you like that. Now how beautifully he explained to him. You can ask him that if you are, if the Minister of Post and Telegraph, the President's Cabinet, and the Minister of Post and Telegraph sends you a chocolate, a bar, slab of chocolate, and one piece falls down, will you pick it up and eat? Of course, Allah. Why? Minister of Post and Telegraph sent it. So he said that this food Allah sent it. And it was specially meant for you. Every drop of water, every grain of rice, means Ratnani, who is Ratnani? Dana, dana, katra, katra, likhane wale, peene wale ka naam likha hota hai. So Allah sent it specially for you, that we understood. Then he said also, not only will I pick up that one piece of chocolate that fell down, but the leper also, I will keep it for my generations to see. That the Minister of Post and Telegraph sent me special this stuff. How the one to appreciate. So everything what Allah has given us, to recognize Allah. To make the shukr, this acknowledgement. Today we haven't got that. A dog that gets a piece of bread from your dog, it's loyal to your dog. What didn't we get from Allah? Wallah, I say, millions, billions, trillions of things that we got, we enjoy, but we don't even know. Not then, what didn't we get? We don't think of Allah. Before we eat, no bismillah. While we are eating, no alhamdulillah. Allah becomes pleased with that bandha that has knowledge as I do this food. And then we make shukr to Allah. And after, if we do that, that strength that we get from that food, we won't use it in the disobedience of Allah. We will use it in Allah's obedience. So this is what we do. This is what is that Islam. So anyway, Allah has taken 14 qasam, striking three in pairs, the sky and the earth, the day and the night, and the earth and the heavens, and how they are so opposite, and what Allah's qudrat is manifest, and all is Allah's. Then the 13th one, Allah Ta'ala took without a pair. وَنَفْسِيُمْ وَمَا سَوَّاهَ. Allah takes qasam of this body of ours, and how Allah has made it balanced. Just very briefly, various aspects, see, we don't see. Allah says Himself in the Quran, وَفِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself? The greatest proof of the existence of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, the oneness of Allah, is you yourself, O insan. Who made this eyes of yours? Who made this brain? Who gave you this heart? It's nobody else but Allah Ta'ala. But we don't recognize Allah. We don't think of time. We've got time for everything. Time to go toilet. Time to smoke. Time to read news. Time to do everything. But to acknowledge Allah, we've got no time. So this body of ours, Allah is saying, it's a fantastic, it's a marvel. How we get so overtaken by the cell phone. by defense machine, by computers, computer programs. Technology, you say, what is the technology doing today? So much they are doing that the whole big aeroplane is just satellite cancer. They say that if a person is smoking a cigarette in the 10th floor in the basement, they can tell you what cigarette he's smoking. And whether it's a full cigarette or whether it's a strong one, that also they can tell you. But that aeroplane, they didn't see where it's going and they don't know where it is. So, but we are impressed with that technology. We are overtaken with all that technology. And unless technology, we can't see. And in everything, how Allah has made. So the balance of the human being outwardly, Allah has made one eye very big and the other eye very small outwardly. If one ear was like the ear of an elephant, a big fan, and the other ear was like a small pumper. If the one nostril was big and the other nostril was just as like the eye of a needle, outwardly. If one leg was 1 meter and the other leg was 1 foot, 12 inches, and we hopped and walked up in there, how should we get shot? If our one hand was long and another hand was short, how Allah made us balance that? Allah Akbar. When the child is born, no teeth in his mouth. Because there is no match on. If you open your mouth like this, you'll see exactly it's a pavilion in a sports stadium. So when there's still no match on, no spectators also. When there's going to be a match, then the spectators come. And usually they have curtain raises for small people to play first. So then little spectators. So when the small food comes, then you get a milk tea. You just have him bought your biscuits, Mary Mari biscuits and those few things. So then the little the milk tea comes. And when the main match is going to come, then the actual teeth come. And then the whole pavilion is full. There are all the spectators are there. And then see how Allah, if we thought we made it, the father thinks I made a child, or the mother thinks I made a baby. According to our thinking, when the child is 1 year old, we should say the truth must be 1 millimeter. 5 years old, 5 millimeters. 10 years, 10. And 20, 25, which is now marriageable age. So the top tooth and the bottom tooth should be 2-2.5 centimeters each. 1 inch. And when you get married, you can have a look at the girl also. And then you smile also a little bit. And if she should see you coming in with this big, big teeth, she should think, my father, mother getting me married to a bulldozer. To this moving machine or what, and you smile and stuff. And the girl also should run away. And the father, boy also, she also should have so many. And I must marry this girl, she'll bite me, she'll eat me up. And if the teeth carry on growing, and you're 80-year-old, Nana Baji, Dada Baji, Nani Ma, Dadi Ma, and you love your grandchildren, and you've got 8 centimeters teeth, and 8 centimeters, and you want to hug your little grandchildren, they should run away from you. That my grandfather will eat me up, Dadi Ma will eat me up, where are we, mother? Who is it that brings the teeth? Will not see your mama, sallallahu. At one level, and then they don't grow anymore whole life. Who spoke of this? Sometimes our children grow very tall also, and some have very big feet also. We say, where you going? How tall are you going to be? But Allah knows. He brings it to one level, and then he stops it there. If he isn't now, he just going to have the head will have to go out of the city. Or the face will grow so long that you need a 1 meter for a shoe to fit that to a day. Now it does grow, some people grow more, but it stops at a certain. From another aspect, if we see this nafs, this body of ours, how balanced Allah has made you, and if we look after you properly, naturally on its own, it remains balanced. Your sugar level should be around about 5.4, round about. Allah can keep balanced there. If we don't have our wrong eating habits and wrong lifestyle, it remains on its own like that. You don't need medication. But when we don't, now it goes out. It's out of balance. Now you are sugar diabetic. Now you've got endless problems. Your eyes are going to trouble. Your eyes are going to be blurred. It's going to be weak. What things are related with sugar? Sugar is too low or low. You're going to feel dizzy. You're going to faint. It has to be balanced also. Your blood pressure, 120 over 80, naturally it will remain there. You can be 70 years, 80 years. Doctor will get surprised. You're like a 20-year-old young man. Your blood pressure is still exactly if we maintain it and how Allah wants us to. Allah has kept it. But when we do all wrong things, etc., it goes too high, it goes too low. Cholesterol in your body, everything, insulin in your body. Everything has to be balanced. So we understand this outwardly. Now, alhamdulillah, we're all quite comfortable. If it was very hot, then we should be restless. If it was very cold, we should be restless. Outside temperature balance, we are quite comfortable. Your temperature of your body has to be balanced also. If then your temperature is gone too high, you've got fever. You can even die in that fever. If it's gone too low, you can also freeze and die. It has to be everything balanced. If we all understand that. And another very important thing which we all also understand is that, see, Allah has made this body, which Allah has explained in so much detail, in that one sentence, wa nafsi wa ma sawwaha. And what I've explained, it's not even, you feel shy to say, it's even the tip of the iceberg. What, how Allah has made this body, it is nothing. How Allah has made this body, that is this body. Then, is this body valuable, or the roof which is inside? The roof is important. If there is no roof, there is no life. The minute the roof, you can be the richest man. Your wife loves you. There is no limit to the love she has got for you. Your children love you so much. Everything. Everything is perfect. But the minute the roof goes out, they all start discussing what time janazah namaz. What time will be the funeral. Now they don't say immediately, he's my husband, he's my father. We must keep him in the house, we're going to keep him here forever. Now immediately, mashallah starts. What time janazah namaz, what time will we bury him, etc. The ruh is important. As long as the ruh is in the whole body is genuine. The minute the ruh is gone, the body is now valueless. Now it has to go in, it has to be buried. So, and also the heart. The heart also has got two aspects of it. One is a biological, a physical heart, which every Muslim has got, one Muslim has got, animals also got heart. And that heart in the whole body, people are very worried about the heart. Many years ago, in our family, one person at the age of 53 passed away heart attack in a farm area. So the other family members were there, some youngsters also, they got very worried, one particular. He told one other cousin, but we must go to the doctor, have our hearts checked out. See how this cousin, 53 years old, he passed away. We must go and have our heart checked out. The other brother, the cousin said, I got no problem, I'm feeling quite healthy. So they were very good friends, he insisted, no, we must go. They went to a top doctor in Lodhia, made appointment, got there. He checked him out. The one who wanted to go, he told him, you are right, nothing wrong, you safe. But the other one who didn't want to go, he said, I don't think he left till tonight. He's very, very serious. And then he asked him, who drove when you people came here? So he said, he said, don't let him drive. He's not fit, he's going to die. I don't think he's going to last till tonight. And talk, very good Muslim doctor, very pious also. So anyway, when he was now returning, so this cousin told him, let me drive. So he said, he feels like driving, all right, you drive, no problem. When he got home, then he told him, actually, doctor told me, I mustn't let him drive. You are very sick. He said, but I don't feel anything wrong. I'm normal, everything. So he spoke to his wife, and the doctor's phone came at him. He said, I'm booking you for tomorrow. We have to do a bypass on you. We have to do an operation on you. So his wife said, take a second opinion. He went to a famous doctor in Joburg, who's still there. Oh, man, he checked up. He said, I don't see anything wrong. Did you go running to the doctor, your blood pressure went up high or something? He says, no. He said, everything, your blood pressure is little high, but nothing serious. You don't even need medication, forget an operation. You all right. But the doctor's phone came again. The doctor passed away. And they, both of them are still living also. So this is the dunya sense. So this heart, today common, you reach 40, must go for checkup. Must do angiogram. Must do thread water on the stress ECG, all that things we have to do. But the spiritual heart, the physical heart will live as long as we are living. It's the only organ in the body that Allah gave life guarantee. The minute your heart is gone, your life is gone. And your heart is life guarantee. It's conditioned to your span of life. So anyway, for that we worry so much. and your spiritual heart, your ruh, won't die. When we die, it's just like we went to the airport and we got out of our car. Now we're going in the aeroplane, we're taking another mode of transport. Exactly at the time of morn, this motor car, this body, this vehicle, we leave it behind now. It's in the qabr. But the ruh and the spiritual heart, which is the ruh, that carries on with its journey. And what's going to happen to it will carry on. And also remember, whatever enjoyment we have and whatever suffering we have has nothing to do with this. We feel it on the body, but it is the spiritual heart, it is the ruh. If the ruh is out, now you can take a chopper and chop that body, you won't feel any pain. You can shoot that body with machine guns and with whatever you want to, it won't feel the ruh. And when sometimes the ruh goes out of one part of the body, paralyzed, there's no more ruh, there's no more feeling. You can hit, you can do what you do to that part of the body, there's no feeling. It's the ruh that is important. We all agree with that? That it is not the physical body, it is the ruh. You're a multimillionaire. You've got all the wealth, you've got all the enjoyment, it all has to do as long as the ruh. Once the ruh is out, all those things will just lie there. Nothing will, it doesn't, nobody, it doesn't mean anything now. It's the ruh that is the most important. Now, all this physical body, the eyes, the brains, the heart, every part of the body, how many doctors have we got? Specialists have we got? Then, how many hospitals we got? Government hospitals, private hospitals, clinics we got. All that there is for this physical body. The whole aeroplane industry, the airports, the travel agents, all that. And what goes into one flight? Forget how many flights are taking off all the time. We cannot imagine, our mind cannot work. What and what goes in behind that? It is all to transport this physical body. In our town, Ermelonia, or in any town, how many things are being done, the municipality, the government, which we don't know. All the time the water is monitored. Whether the water was cut off today, there was a pipe burst or whatever, but the water is monitored. There mustn't be any sickness in the water. So much so that our toilet, the stool and urine is monitored also. They pick up whether there's any disease, an epidemic in there. They have to watch that also. So much so in the air, how much pollution there is, that's also monitored all the time. We don't know all this is happening. And if any of these things don't happen, the work doesn't happen, we will have problems all the time. For our motor cars, the garages, and then the people who sell spare parts, the mechanics, all just for the motor car. Motor car is for this body. To give us comfort. How much don't we want? Maintenance of our motor car, everything. Then not only doctors, how many chemists? How many 24-hour chemists there are? Anytime, all is for this body. The roads that are made, all for the comfort of this body. The farms that are there, Allah Akbar. You just have to forget all the others. You start your food with vegetable salads. What the vegetable salads got what in there? They got onions in there, tomatoes in there, cucumber in there, lettuce in there. How many things? For everything, different farms. And for that farm's tractors, for that farm's fertilizers, for that farm laborers, Allah, we cannot measure all that Allah puts in one plate for us. From where they were in the world, then you have your biryani, then you have your roast, then you have what you have. All this is for this body. So much is done for this body. When this body is left 1 minute, if the ruh is not dead. Once the ruh is out, the body is dead, finished, nothing. So the most important thing is the ruh, the spiritual heart. I ask you, here in Amaro, whole of Kumananga, whole of South Africa, have you got one spiritual hospital? To see to the spiritual heart. Have we got spiritual doctors to see to the spiritual heart? Have we got specialists of the heart, spiritual doctors? One time, one Khalifa of Manana, Abraham Hassan, was in a hospital in Bombay. So they wanted to do an operation on him. They wanted him to sign the papers. So he said, first I'll ask my spiritual doctor. So they ask, who's your spiritual doctor? We are your doctors. We don't know about, have we never heard of spiritual doctors? So he said, there's a good chance. Call all the doctors of the hospital and I'll explain who is a spiritual doctor. They called all the hospital doctors. Then he told them, see, regularly you take our blood to check our sugar, to check our thyroid, to check our kidneys function, to everything of the body. All the tests we do. Tell me in any test of yours, can you check how much of kufr is out of you? How much of shirk and nifaq and hypocrisy? How much of hasad and jealousy? How much of anger? How much of takabbur and pride I got? He said, this our test won't show it. He said, that's the work of a Ruhani doctor. He was this. As we understand, your high blood is very high. You can get a stroke. You can get a heart attack. I must treat it immediately. Our eyes we can't see properly. There's a very good doctor in Canada. We take out, family will give money. They'll help out. No, your eyes are very important. There's a very good doctor in Surat. No matter what happens, sell the jewelry, sell the car, but go and see this doctor. Eyes are important. Every part, your joints are painful. Go to Thailand for treatment. Very good doctors you get in Thailand for all the joints, etc. All that we understand, and that is only the Lord. And the other people, if they don't understand, in one sense, they can be excused also. They don't believe in Akhirah. But we are those people, we believe in Akhirah. We know that the real matter is not this dunya, the real matter is of the Akhirah. And if you've got cancer, and you are suffering in your pain, even your own family members now quietly in their heart, they make dua, if Allah takes him away, it's better, we can't see how he's suffering. How he's moaning, groaning, we can see it's a terrible pain. We also make quietly dua, that Allah take him away, it's better. But all that sicknesses and that pain will come to an end at the time of mort. And if we've got spiritual diseases, we have pride in us, the punishment will start from the time of mort. In this dunya also we suffer the consequences, worse in the kabar. If we had kufr and shirk in us and we didn't know also, if we had pride in us, if we had hatred and jealousy, to have dunya is not haram, but to have the love of dunya is haram. You can have a 10 million rand chair right next to your heart in your pocket, it's not, no problem. But to have the love of 1 cent in your heart, that is what is haram. So if you have got that, and at the time of death, then your problems will start. So to treat death, what is more important? To treat our physical ailments like sugar, diabetes, or to treat pride, hatred, jealousy, what is more important? Then,
spiritual.
And also remember, with our physical illnesses, to take treatment is not farz. It is sunnah, it is permissible. You've got cancer, you've got heart problems, you've got anything. To take the treatment is not first to take the treatment. But it is farz and ayn. If you've got spiritual ailments, to take treatment is farz and ayn. And yet you can't delay also. You have to treat immediately if you've got spiritual ailments. So the first thing is we must recognize I've got spiritual ailments. And if we take ourselves to be healthy, our 5 times namaz is not in order, but we are quite healthy. Eh? A person who hasn't got appetite, who doesn't eat, we don't eat anymore. 3 meals, we eat more than 5 meals. But a person who doesn't, your child, he doesn't want to eat, the mother gets so worried. The father gets, take him to the doctor. Why isn't he eating? He's going to get so weak, he's not eating. If we haven't got appetite for 5 times namaz, maybe our 5 times namaz. And if we are making those of us, we got no concentration in that namaz. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah, he said so beautifully, he said if we have 10%, I will say 1%, the concentration that we have in food, if we have that concentration in namaz, what would our namaz be? We see our friend when we are sitting and eating, the people who are serving the food, they are standing with it. Sometimes a little child, he can't manage. But all of us, so much concentration, they don't notice what he's giving the food. Nobody wants to even speak before you eat giving the food, not for somebody else, but no, you just concentrate. Your friend next to you, his plate is empty, he's a bit shy. You won't, your concentration on your food is so much, you won't even say, bring something for my friend. And our concentration is so great in food, You're sitting in this corner of the dasturkhan, and that corner can be so far. In one glance, you see everything. And I miss myself one thing. Everything I must come, it must come in my plate also. And in namaz, no concentration. So what kind of, just imagine. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala Himself says, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. There is destruction for those people who make namaz. Which namaz, which people? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who are unmindful of their namaz. And ask ourselves, how many of us from Allahu Akbar, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, we don't even think of Allah. We don't think of anything. When we finish some, after namaz we realize I was in namaz. But during namaz we hardly realize we were in namaz. For such namaz Allah is a destruction. And another namaz Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those people have become 100% successful. Those people who have got, who make their salat with concentration and devotion. This is our namaz. Roza is like a burden for us. Hey, there is roza, and also there are two types of rozas, which also is in the Quran and Hadith. One roza is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is when you have roza, automatically taqwa will come in. And one roza, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who in his mind, in brackets, in his mind he kept rozas, but he lied, he backbited, he cast lustful glances on other women, Allah is not in need of his staying hungry. That wasn't even a roza, it was staying hungry. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَارَى وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. Namaz, we are lazy, we don't want to make namaz. Just somehow we force ourselves and make it. When we have to pay zakat, also like a burden, like a tax, we find it hard. So if that is the case, then those amal, they are amal, but they haven't got any value in them. This glass, yet, you need the glass, otherwise where would you put water? But if in this glass we put dirt, solid water, and we put urine in here, what's the use of it? So you got namaz, that's your container. But in your namaz, and we know what filthy thoughts we are getting in namaz also. What questions people ask, that in my namaz, what the worst, filthiest, lustful thoughts come to me in my namaz. So urine we put in that glass of namaz. What kind of a namaz is that? So we have to see that we correct that also. So that is what is the soul, what is the skia, what is the ihsan. Also, see, just on a nafil basis, or a mustahab basis, which is the skia and the soul. One time in the Darul Uloom in Azadul, there was a nikah taking place. They asked me to say a few words, and Allah put it in my heart. I didn't think of it myself also. I said that when you are making your namaz, and in the standing position, it is mustahab. It's not farz, it's not wajib, not sunnat e muakkada. You must look at the place of sajda. When you go in your ruku, then you must look on your feet. When you go in sajda, you must focus on the tip of your nose. You can't see the tip of your nose. Just see, there also today technology very gets off. That on my cell phone, I can see what's happening in my house now. In my kitchen, in my bedroom, in my office, I can check. All the time I can monitor from any part of the world, I can monitor all of it. But I can't see the tip of my nose. And I can see the whole world and my intelligence and how much I know everything. I watch everything, but you can't see the tip of my nose. And you can't see the little snot in your nose. The whole world can see. If I got something here, all of you can see. But I can't see it. So what are you thinking? I know so much. And I can see so much. But anyway, in sajda, you must focus on the tip of your nose. When you are in a sitting position, in your lap. And when you make salam, on your shoulders. Because the farishtas are there. You must make salam to the... Because we hardly ever think that I'm making salam to the farishtas. And we are deprived of so much. Anyway, just so much. There is much more detail, but just so much. A person who does this, guards his gazes in namaz. Then outside namaz, Allah will give him tawfiq to guard his gazes. You will never say it's difficult for me to not to look at other women. you Allah will make, so Allah brought us 5 times a day. In 5 times day namaz, how many rakats? Faras alone are 20 rakats a day. And then all the sunnah muakkada, sunnahs, nafils we read in every namaz, and that is why this mu'taqa needs maintenance and needs service 5 times a day. Your mu'taqa goes for service 20,000 kilometers. 6 months it needs a service. But this mu'taqa, which controls all the mu'taqas of the world, all the aeroplanes of the world, this mu'taqa needs service 5 times a day. If we serve it properly, you'll see your eyes will be under control. I said this in that gathering. After about 2 months, one very good friend of mine, very strong in Jamaat work also, and really sincere also. He had a problem, he's looking at other women. For that he made second nikah. He thought that, if I make second nikah, then I won't look at her. But he says the problem persisted. But he says, since I acted on this prescription of yours, Allah has given me 100% my eyes control. Now just imagine, and wallah I say, a person whom Allah has got given purity of the eyes, he's got purity of the mind. He's got purity of the heart. And anything that is clean and pure is enjoyed by anyone. What is dirty and filthy, nobody likes it. When your eyes are dirty and filthy, you yourself, you don't enjoy life. You are wondering why I'm always like depressed. Why my things are not going right. I'm not enjoying life. I've got problems all the time. Your eyes, for example, are not. Your heart is not right. You are thinking of other women. You are sleeping with your own wife, but you are thinking of other women. How can that person find enjoyment? A person who finds enjoyment in haram, and in his halal wife he doesn't find enjoyment, that person is not a mad person, he's not a stupid person, he's a person, be-iman, person without iman. That you, in haram you enjoy, and haram, Allah will. Mawlana Thani rahmatullah is written this wonderful instance that a man got married, 20 got married, but he used to wet the bed every night. So his wife told him, what is this? That the poor people, small children wet the bed, and then the mothers make some ta'weez also, some medicine also, they stop their liquids from asr time, 5 o'clock, so that they don't wet the bed, etc. But you, grown up men, you wet the bed. So he said, actually what happens? Shaitan comes to me in my dream and he takes me for a long walk. And after a long time, everyone then needs to go to the toilet. So I tell Shaitan, I need to go toilet, how do you relate? So he shows me a modern, ultra hygienic, clean toilet. I just do my thing there. In the morning I realize it was a dream, it all happened in a dream. So the wife said, oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. Every night he comes and he takes you for a long walk. You know how poor people we are. We haven't got money. We are suffering. Then Shaitan, he's the Amir of all the evil jinnah. And they know exactly where all the money is kept. So tell him to take you and give some money. What is this? Is making you urinate in the bed every night. So he also thought, right idea. So he told Shaitan that night, my wife said, he said, no problem. Why didn't you tell me long ago? Come, I'll take you now. So he took him to a place where there was a whole chest of gold, diamonds, everything, money, cash, everything. He was very excited and he rushed to pick it up. He was very happy. He made number 2. In the morning he found it was in the bed. Now no gold, no diamonds, no nothing. He made number 2. So the wife said, now what is this? What you were doing before was better. It wasn't as bad as this. And so Mawlana Thani said, this is a story just to make us understand. Many of us only remember this, but we don't remember the moral. Right? The moral is, Mawlana says, that committing guna, any type of guna, is worse than drinking urine and good, putting stool over it. Can you imagine a person, even a mad person, even the most stupid person, that he will drink urine and he will put stool on his whole body? Nobody will do that. This is a person who hasn't got, and this committing guna is worse than urine, worse than stool. And the sad part is we enjoy it. Committing that guna, we release it and we enjoy it. So this is what the tasawwuf, to acquire this stuff. And don't think it's impossible. Wallah, I say, Alhamdulillah, Allah's result. Wallah, we are absolutely nothing. We are down to the ground. We are nothing whatsoever. But this tariq of tasawwuf, how many people, their emails come, what they were and how they have changed. Young girls, 18 years, 20 years. What is a girl's life in that time? Fashion and all those things. But when you read the emails and how their lives have changed, and how they say, one professor who lectures in a university, and how the girls dress at university, but how he protects himself. And it is possible, because it's not possible, and that shouldn't give us the command. Many of us, we fool ourselves that looking at other women today, you can't help it. Wherever you look at a woman, you just can't help it. It's a lie. Shaitan is deceiving you. You can. You can be the mirror of all gunas. And if you make the effort, you will protect yourself. And it will be easy for yourself to protect. But that is if you go through the process. And you make it, you will give yourself your thing. So just by looking after your eyes, which is a mustahab of namaz, see what the benefit is. What will happen if the farais come? This is just a mustahab of namaz. What benefit will come? So this is what is called the sawwuf and ihsan, that this reality is open upon. Otherwise, all life we will make namaz, but the reality of namaz is. And this is only one aspect of namaz. What are the aspects of namaz? When Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِ خَاشِعُونَ, all types of success that person will get. See, for example, we all read Quran Sharif, hopefully. Unfortunately, that's also gone very, very little. On a daily basis, we should read Quran Sharif. Those of us who do read, do we make any niyyat when we read? We just take the Quran Sharif, we open, we start reading. You read one supara, you read half a supara. But if you just took 3-4 seconds that you are reading in order to make Allah happy, you are reading in order to get hidayah. There is nothing that can give you more hidayah than the Quran Sharif. You are reading in order to get the closeness to Allah. Nothing can give you more closeness to Allah Ta'ala than Quran Sharif. You are reading Quran Sharif for every letter, minimum 10 sawabs. With wuzu, it is much more. Looking inside, you will get sawab. You will get taqwa. You will get the nur of ma'rifah. How many? In 4-5 seconds, you can make that niyyah. Now you read the same amount, quarter supara. But where you have, what you have earned, you cannot imagine how much you have earned. As we are setting each one thing for yourself, where we ever made niyyah for what is my life? Why am I in this world? What is my object? You go to shop, you got a niyyah to make business, to make profits. We all came here to Amalu, today we came with a niyyah. It's going to be this jalsa about the Islam and Reformation. But for my life, who of us have made the niyyah? That what the object of my life is. And a person without an intention is like a ship without a rudder. It's just moving on the seas. The waves are hitting it from this side to that side. The wind is blowing, it's got no direction. You sat in your car, you got your GPS also, but no destination you type in. You're just driving around aimlessly, burning petrol all the time. Where are you there? And somebody asks, where are you going? I don't know, I'm just driving. Hey, if you're a mad person or something, our life we are living like mad people. We haven't made an object of our life. Our object of life is to gain the pleasure of Allah, to gain Jannah. If we did make a niyyah, it is dunyasi. To make billions, to build houses, to make investments, that is our niyyah. But who has made this niyyah? See, most of us who are sitting here, we are Hanafis. And a Hanafi, without niyyah, no wudu will be made. But no sawab for the wudu. How many of us make niyyah when we make wudu? We just make our wudu. And if you are a Shafi, your wudu also is not made if you haven't made niyyah. So your namaz also is not made if you haven't made niyyah. Any amal without niyyah is like a lifeless body. Your baby got born, but still born, dead. What you will do? Bury. Any amal without niyyah is like a lifeless body. Most of us, we make namaz also, no real niyyah. How many of us do make our niyyah for our namaz? And in nafil namazes, you can make so many niyyahs. And in nafil, for every niyyah, separate sawab. So just see, if this little bit of islah you do, how much your profit you're going to make. How much your earnings going to be. And not only the nafil, your faras. If we don't make our Islam without any exaggeration, an Ali who became an Ali, served Deen his whole life, but he didn't make his Islam, Jahannam in a most disgraceful, it's in Mubarak's life. A mujahid, a person who made jihad his whole life, brave person, fought the non-believers on the battlefield, killed them, sent them to Jahannam. What great sacrifices! He dies as a shaheed in our eyes. But if his Islam was not made, thrown on his face and straight to Jahannam. A generous person who spent so much money in the path of Allah. There wasn't an occasion, but he spent money. Wherever he should have been, look for the occasion. But Islam is not made, he goes straight to Jahannam. The Bukhari Sharif's riwayat, Allah will ask, I gave you knowledge, what did you do? I taught you, people must benefit. Allah will say, what means your Islam you didn't make? Your ikhlas, you didn't have ikhlas. Who of us made effort for ikhlas? Then Imam Ahmad, we heard about it, as Maulanas, we made bayan, and we think I got ikhlas. But is there ikhlas in my life? Eh? How have we got that ikhlas? If there isn't ikhlas, Allah, 99% of amal is done for Allah Ta'ala. 1% the people must praise you. People must talk about me. Allah leaves that amal completely. Allah doesn't take one share of it. Allah only takes that which is 100% for him. We are such, if we are partners in anything, then we try and take more than what our share is. Allah Ta'ala, if 1% you did for anyone besides Allah, Allah leaves the whole amal to his partner. He doesn't take one share. So that Ali, whole life made me, but he didn't bring his class in. There's Mujahid who fought, who was so brave, but no ikhlas. And there's only one thing still ikhlas. For qabooliyat of amal, acceptance of amal, only ikhlas is not required. Many more things are required. So then, if the person who was so generous, but without sincerity, he wanted people must praise, that people must talk about him. He's not accepted, he's gone. And he goes, he comes in the river, throw him down on his face, and drag him and throw him into the fire of Jahannam. Tawadu, humility. If how that of us, what pride will, the fights in our houses, our pride doesn't allow us to say, I made a mistake. Our pride doesn't allow us to say, make me mad. We just can't do those things. Fights in the community, in most cases, it is our pride. And we can't do the thinking. A person who got one iota, one speck of pride, forget Jannah, he won't get the fragrance of Jannah. And the fragrance of Jannah will go to a distance of 500 years journey out of Jannah. Today, how long will be the longest journey in this world as far as time is concerned? Eh? Tell me about how many days will it be? You have to change planes, you have to be in transit, wherever you want to go, the most remote place, how long will it take? About? Roughly? 1.5 days? Somebody else? 5 days sometimes 6 days, 500 years. How long will that journey be? A person won't come so much close to Jannah if he got a bit of that. Did I ever take stock of myself if I got pride in me? Am I doing things with sincerity? You are collecting money. By the opinions you are collecting, but you never took the trouble to find out if it's fake money or what. You are collecting checks by the million, but you never took the trouble to see whether it's signed or so. Then one person went for collection, and one person gave him a very big amount. He was surprised. All said, he's a very stingy man, but he gave him so big amount. So he looked at it, not signed. He says, sign it. So he says that, we are told in the hadith, when you give the path of Allah, your right hand, your left hand must not know what your right hand can. So I want to give my meaning. And so what kind of that man? So anyway, you are collecting all that unsigned checks. Checks which are dated and expired already. He's putting 2 years back dates on them. You're not checking. You're happy because of all our amal, we're happy, but we're not checking. One Sikh in the UK, they told us, we didn't see, but they told us, he went through a green traffic and the camera flashed on him. So he said, the camera is faulty. I didn't go through the red light. He came around second time and he went through the green light. Again, the camera. So he thought, order, and there traffic fines are heavy, and your license also get cancelled. So he said, there is a good chance we can sue the traffic department. The equipment is faulty. He put witnesses with him in the car. Third time he went through the green light. Again flashed, and before he could make a lawyer and make a court case against the traffic department, the final thing. Not for going through the green light, not having received that. So we also, we think that I'm doing this unless cameras are on everything. Outwardly my namaz I'm making. And how many of us, no sunnah beard, we're making the hajj. We are gone to Arafat, we make hajj also. We are in guna while we're in Arafat. Tears are coming out of our eyes. Hands are stretched out. But we are in guna. Our clothing, our ihram, our trousers below our ankles. We are in guna all the time.
Unless the cameras are on our heart also.
What malice we are holding about other people.
What bad thoughts we have got about other people.
One is to have filthy, lustful thoughts about women.
That is also totally haram. And to have ill thoughts about fellow Muslims. He's a bad guy. He's like this. That's even a worse.
How many of us are filled with that? I think I'm making my tahajjud. I became a big Ali. I'm going khanqa. I'm going jamaat every year. But this filth is in the heart.
And as cameras are on everything, we think we are quite all right. So we have to check on all these things here. And if we don't, and we die in that condition, wallah, it is worse than having cancer. It is worse than having heart problems. And not that we need triple bypass, five arteries are blocked. Then worse than that also, if our spiritual diseases are not cured. And this is that we just have to be first thing become conscious.
If we become conscious of it, today we haven't got that consciousness also. We are just carrying on, we are not conscious of deen. Little bit amal of deen that is being made, and that also no quality in it.
So that is what we have to do. And then after that, now think of treatment. If there a person is in denial that I'm a drug addict, he doesn't want to go.
Person is in denial that I'm an alcoholic,
he doesn't go for treatment.
A husband is in denial that I've got anger, that I use terrible, vulgar language in the house. He doesn't think of treatment for it. But the day, the first thing is to accept. When we usually sit to eat, I remind our friends to read Bismillah. Sometimes I ask personally somebody, you read? Immediately without a say, yes, I read. But they say, I didn't see your lips move, I didn't see you reading. He said, I read in my heart. But when we eat, we don't eat with the heart. Then we eat properly with the mouth.
And good sounds also come, proper innocent sounds come out of them.
And this now also, we got this, that I got a lot of ikhlas in.
That example I will share is, if a Saudi Airlines plane comes to land at O'Hara Temple, all the Hajis inside, the whole plane Muslims, captain also. Captain announces and says, see, we're landing at O'Hara Temple, and we got the best wheels, tires in the whole world.
No airline, nobody got tires like what we got. And we don't have to make a show out of it to show them. So when we're going to land, we're not going to take out our wheels. We're going to keep our wheels inside the plane.
Everyone will say, please, Captain, keep your tahajjud for Makkah Sharif, for Haram Sharif. Keep your ikhlas for tahajjud time. Keep your ikhlas for Haram Sharif. But here, make riyah. Take out your wheels. If you don't take out your wheels, the whole plane will go up in flames. So our Bismillah we read in our heart because we got so. How many people say, I don't have to keep a beard? My Islam is not in my beard, my Islam is in my heart.
In your heart there is angina.
There are blocked arteries. There are blocked valves, etc.
What you put in your beard also in the beard in your heart? Put the beard where it's supposed to be.
Keep your heart clear. So this year, so to understand the class of many people, if somebody praises me, oh, my amal are destroyed.
How can somebody else destroy your amal?
By somebody else praising you, if you want the praise,
then your amal will get destroyed.
But if somebody praises you, it's not your act,
your amal cannot get destroyed. We haven't understood what ikhlas is, where we're going to have ikhlas.
And they said much more detail, ikhlas is the most iman. How important is iman? Imagine Allah Akbar.
I hope I end on this now.
See, the love of kufr is also part of kufr. How many of us, our children, my 2-year-old child, my 6-month-old child, if I have to put a kurta on the little boy, burqa on the little girl, the pious, the learned people of the family will say, from now kurta already, from now burqa already, but put western clothes on the child.
But all funny writings on it,
nobody got a protection. That is a sign of the love of kufr. When I want my wife to dress like a kafir, like a non-Muslim woman, all that dressing, what is it? It is the love of the dressing of the kuffar that I love. And that is a part of kufr in me, but I don't realize. And I die with the disease. What part of kufr I die, what will be my condition? Shirk, to associate partners with Allah, to do amal for somebody else, is also shirk. To believe that my medicine gives me shifa. To believe, if you have a shot, no problem. But you tell you have Prophet, but your belief is Allah gives rose. But when you believe my shop is giving me roses, and to test as details in it, to see very clearly whether I'm believing Allah is giving me roses or whether my shop is giving me roses. That is also a very serious guna if you got the shirk. Hypocrisy, nifaq. Today, how many of us, when we meet one another, oh, I was thinking of you so long, mashallah, so nice I met you. But the daggers in the heart are dripping with blood for that person. Wow. Somebody phones you late at night, somebody comes to your door, and you swear and where is your going? When you, oh, mashallah, I was thinking of you, see, Allah send you to me. What hypocrisy we have got, and hypocrisy, what a serious sin it is. But we are filled with it. But we are not even worried about all this. So this is what is called Islam. When you make your Islam, doesn't mean you're going to divorce your wife. You're going to close your shop. Or the whole day, you're going to, whole night, you're going to be in the khanta. No, take your treatment. Your car needs maintenance. It needs a service. It's not going to stay in the workshop all the time. Once the maintenance is done, the service is done, it will be used on the tar road, it will be used on the corrugated road, it will be used on the pavement, it will be used in the driveway. So the minute our Islam is made, we will be used in the shops, we will be used with the families, we will be used with our friends, everywhere we will be used. When you carry on Islam, when it's time, then do your Islam. Carry on with all your other work. You carry on with your hajj, with your umrah, with your imam, with your teaching, with your tabligh work. Everything will carry on, but with Islam. And then see the difference. May Allah make that we can understand this and bring this part of life in us. And before it is too late, Maulana Yunus Daya of Marlboro, my very close friend, we study together. He says, I pity that person who dies without his Islam. How many of us, how many people, we didn't think about Islam. Or we think of it, it's not necessary. Or we speak against Islam. And remember, all this work is necessary. Everything. Just like eyes are necessary. You can't say, I need eyes, I don't need a tongue. You can't say, I need ears, I don't need a nose. I need brains, I don't need a heart. Everything. You are building a house. You can't say, only the architect is important. You need an engineer, you need an architect, you need a plumber, you need a carpenter, you need a bricklayer, you need everyone. And all give one another chance to work, your house will get built. And if the plumber say no, then all today nobody must come to work. I'm working today. And for 6 weeks I'm doing my work, nobody else must come. How will that house get finished? The government cannot function if any department says we only important people. If the traffic department say the hospitals are useless, they're wasting time, we controlling traffic, we are the most important. If the police force say, police department, only we are important. The educators are useless. All the whole education department, we don't need that. Every department you need, then you have a proper government and you have service delivery. Otherwise, if you don't, one letter reach anywhere, it affects everyone. So if the traffic department is not working, ambulances, how are they going to reach their place? They are all to hold, all the roads are blocked up. How will the traffic, how are they? If in the hospitals, they have got all the equipment, there is no electricity department, they're not supplying current, what will happen? So every department is necessary of need, and together all work, we will get wonderful results. May Allah give us tawfiq and may Allah Ta'ala open our hearts for the whole of deen, and the whole of deen together must come into everyone's life. And then see, inshallah, what goodness will come. And if there is deficiency in any part, we're going to suffer the consequences. May Allah give us tawfiq. Tomorrow morning, Fajr, where will we be? Kasimpa. We have a short program there. Inshallah, it's a zikr program. So try and attend the program there, or for the brothers will be there. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Oh Allah, let us understand what has been said, what has been heard. Oh Allah, put the reality of it in our hearts. Without our hearing and without our saying, you have the qudrat to put the right things in our hearts. We beg of you, oh Allah, what is the truth? What is the correct path? Put that into our hearts, and oh Allah, you are in charge and control of all our limbs and parts of the body. You help us that we walk on that correct path, oh Allah. Guide our minds and heart to that path. Guide every part of our body to the correct path. Oh Allah, give us all the goodness of dunya also, the goodness of akhirah. Oh Allah, it's all of us, we want good houses, we want good cars, we want good food, we want good incomes. Oh Allah, let it make it, put it in our heart. We must have a good deen also. And our practice on deen also must be good and perfect, oh Allah. Oh Allah, as we want our dunya to be beautiful and enjoyable, more than that, put it in our hearts. My everlasting life of akhirah, the real life must be even more beautiful and must be even more better. As we all want the goodness for ourselves, for our wives and our children, let us desire this for the whole ummah also. Let us not become that we only look at one part of deen, oh Allah. Let us look at the whole of deen. And let us appreciate this beautiful, complete deen which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave and gave us. Let us not only take what we like and we discard the other things. Let us take the whole of deen and let the whole of deen come into our lives. Oh Allah, let our public life, our private life be according to deen. Let our business life, our home life be according to deen, oh Allah. Let our masjid and deeni life, let our social life be according to deen. Bring the whole of deen into our lives, oh Allah. Guide us towards righteousness. Guide us to muhabbat and understanding and love for each other. Let us compliment one another and help one another on all righteous and good things. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.